do something a little bit different this morning. So we had the honour of being invited to present to a pastor's conference that was being held overseas in, actually in the country of Pakistan, believe it or not, and earlier in the week. And basically the theme of their conference was one of encouragement and edification. So the idea, edification being like building each other up and through teaching and that sort of thing. And so it was a real, it was a wonderful thing to be invited to present to, to this group. They were from churches all over Pakistan, and it was a good experience, and I hope that the it's equipping yourself as well to be ready to bless others, I guess you could say. It was one that that sort of resonated well with the conference as well. So that was great. So I included some of the material in this morning's presentation that we presented on Thursday. It was only an hour segment, and so we thought we'd include the first part, the praise part anyway, so to share with you as well. So Louise is going to give me a hand with that in a moment. But before we start this morning as usual, I think we will we'll stop and I'll repeat the Lord's Prayer from Luke chapter 11. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. All right, so the verse that sort of came to mind when I was thinking about the best way to introduce the use of praise, or the instruction that that we're given by Paul for the application of praise, and I guess the things to fill your mind with, I thought was nicely summarized in this particular verse, these couple of verses from Ephesians. There's so many great little gems as you go through the Bible, and it's worthwhile, even if you can't remember the references, exactly where they come from. It's great to have the little snippets in there. And the one that sticks with me is this psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And when I think of that, and the making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I think it's one of those things that the world's a pretty dark place. There's a lot of things that happen to people which are very disconcerting, certainly with the ability of us to receive bad news from all over the world. Not that we haven't got enough here at home, I'm sure, but certainly in this day and age, there's no shortage of negativity and bad news and darkness that I guess that's out there. And the Bible is full of solutions for this particular problem. The things that we should, way that we should be aligning our mind, the way, the things that we should be filling our mind with, and the way that we should be training our thoughts. And Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, I thought, is a great introduction, where Paul says that we should be, as an intro, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder whether you've really considered that. The ability, I don't know that it's something that any of us really can possess in our current fallen state, the ability to give thanks in all things unto God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All things. That's not just the things that make us feel good, but also the situations or the circumstances that are not very pleasant as well. Knowing that those times are often for shaping and for directing and for helping a greater plan or a greater outcome in both ourselves and perhaps people around us as well. And so the only way, I mean, we face all of these, this is the message before the message, right? The only way I think that we can really keep that in mind is by memorizing and knowing some of these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I don't know about you, but I can only really remember about three psalms. I mean, you know, what have we got? Psalm 23, that's a nice easy one. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, da 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 da. You know, Psalm 96, that's another one. And of course, there's just a psalm for every occasion, but they're quite long and they're quite hard to remember. So something we all got to work on. Hymns, of course. We're very blessed in this church to have hymns. And I think it's very important for us to memorize those words so they can sink into our minds and we can recall them in times of need. And spiritual songs. Well, we just sang three of those this morning. So these are the sorts of songs that we should be filling our minds with so that we can make melody in our heart to the Lord. And what does that mean? It means that we can continuously use the messages in those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to direct our praise back to God, our thankfulness back to God, and to know that in every situation we can rely on His faithfulness and put our trust in Him. Not easy to do, but worthwhile remembering and to do if we can ourselves. So we have two hymns this morning. We've had three spiritual songs, and we're going to have a few psalms as well. So we're going to have lots of material this morning for that. So we have three psalms that we're going to look at this morning. The first is Psalm 146. It actually has three parts to it. And basically, most psalms actually are, well, a psalm is like a song, or and most of them actually begin with something like, "Praise ye the Lord." In this case, "Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of men, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." So it starts quite positive, and then there's a reminder in there straight away that we very much rely on our peers, on people around us, on people that we admire, on celebrities, goodness knows what, on our politicians to solve everything for us. But it says here, that's not where our trust should be. So in summary, on the left, let us begin all things we think and do with praise to the Lord, because he was before all things, he is above all things. He causes all things to exist. Take the universe, for example. We don't have all the planets just crashing into each other in chaos. Everything runs like clockwork. It is an amazing miracle when you look out there. He has loved and redeemed all things through the gift of his Son. That's a wonderful thing to remember. Verse 5 and 6 are on the left. "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever." In him we have hope, because God is both sovereign. Now, sovereign means like the king. It means somebody who has absolute authority to make a decision in every situation, about every situation, about every circumstance. And also omnipotent as well, which is all strength. He's powerful enough to make it all happen. Not only make the decision, but also get in there and do it. Creates the universe, rules all things and situations, and is the diviner of all things good and righteous. The other thing as well is that there's a mention there, and this is going to come through in the later part of this of the service today, hopefully, which keepeth truth forever. God is the keeper of truth. He is the source of truth. What he says is true. He does not lie. He actually made everything, and so he knows how everything works. And so when we build our faith upon him, we have an unerring source of truth, one that doesn't sort of double guess himself or get it wrong sometimes or anything like that. We can trust him. And, of course, this is found in the Bible. And as I mentioned before, because of that, we can have confidence in his faithfulness, because he tells us he is faithful, and that's our reassurance and our joy. To finish this particular psalm, then starts to look outwards to the world. And it actually talks about what God does from verse 7 onwards. He executeth judgment for the oppressed, which he giveth food to the hungry. He looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow by the way of the wicked, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. And how does he do that? Well, he does it through lots of different ways, but predominantly here on earth, these are people problems that he's all just listed out here, and he solves it with other people. People that are inspired to go and do these things for him. There are amazing stories of people who exhibit hospitality and love and care for people out there, which are just beyond anything that we can understand. Hopefully we are used as well, just in our little ways, to do these things, to uphold the principles of justice with equity for all people, especially the persecuted. To feed our neighbour with both spiritual and physical food. Proclaim freedom from the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we just say anything goes. This is one misconception with Christianity, that Christianity is just a loving religion and anything, they just accept anything. There is actually a way that people should be running their lives so that they can be free. I think it's one of those, freedom is a very interesting thing and a whole different topic which we won't get into today. Let us preach righteousness, so doing of right, peace, mercy and truth to those who have not heard. Lift up those who have fallen, hold fast to doing what is right ourselves, to show love, generosity and hospitality to all those in our community. And of course, as a lot of psalms do, it finishes with praise to God. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Now we actually have a couple of extra hymns here. We have first Psalm 123, which I'll ask Louise if she'd like to come up and read and talk about. And also Psalm 143. So these three psalms were the three that we presented at the first half of the conference this week. So thanks, Louise, if you'd like to, do that.
Thank you. Pulled my stool out for me. He says talk about, but he only just asked me right now, so we'll see. Okay, so definitely can read them. All right. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so a few days ago we were a part of a conference that some people were having in Pakistan, and what really struck me was just how grateful they were to meet with some fellow believers, and that technology had been able to let them talk to people that were in a completely different country, somewhere so far away, and they were so encouraged that we would make time to do that with them, and felt so blessed that that's a possibility that wouldn't have been a possibility in times past. And we are very, very blessed in this day and age that we have access to so much, because we all have access to the Bible. We do here anyway. There's probably plenty of people in the world that don't. But for us, we have access to the Bible, and not only do we have access to the Bible, but we can even look up root words really easily. We can look up the Greek meaning and the Hebrew meaning. I remember when we were probably before we were married, maybe early married, Tim bought me this massive concordance, and like it's big, we still have it. So to look up a word, if you were like, I wonder what the actual Hebrew word or the meaning, you would have to it was a big, big process. So you couldn't just go through and go check each word as you go. But we can now. There's apps. I've got one on my phone right here. And as you read through, you can look at the word as you go. What's the meaning before that? Is that the root word? We can go back. It's super interesting. And while technology has sometimes made things more complicated and There's some pitfalls to being having too much technology. We're definitely blessed that we've got access to some things that in the past not everybody did. So Psalm 123 is one of the psalms that was read the other day, and I'll just read it. This one is very, very little. It's only four verses. So maybe it's the next one you should learn, Ben. Seems achievable. All right, Psalm 123. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, and have mercy upon us. Double repeated, it must be very important. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. So one of the main points in this psalm is that we need to be seeking dependence on God. It's God that supplies our needs, not always our wants, but our needs, and in his own timing. It's quite interesting imagery that it's portrayed as more like a looking to your father or something. But in this particular psalm, it's talking about like servants or maids looking to the person that's over them. And I think it's really impressing on us the sense of remembering to be really humble. Thou that dwellest in the heavens, he's the God of the whole universe. And while we are blessed through Jesus to be able to have an intimate relationship with him, we also need to be super respectful that he is all powerful. And when we're waiting on him, we're looking to him in his authority and for his mercy. It's not something we really deserve. It's something he's given to us freely and with love. And it's a really beautiful gift that we're able to have a relationship with him. But as we see time and time through the scriptures, having a humble heart is something towards God is something that he really desires from us. So that's really good psalm. I had a quick look at some of the words through that, and there's some interesting ones. Some of those words about the proud and contempt and things like that, there's actually not, it's not just the scorning and things like that. There's kind of like, it's quite aggressive, like it's aggressive. I think the proud word was like with aggression. Was it the proud? Yeah, the proud. There's like three different words. It's not just one word. There's actually three different words. It's like, and the first one is to oppress, suppress, treat violently. So when it says our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and the contempt of the proud, there's some real, like, they're feeling very, very, David or whoever wrote this was feeling very oppressed by and violently oppressed almost. So potentially the enemies at the time, or just maybe just feeling really downtrodden by people that didn't really want to be seeking God. Not sure. So Psalm 143 is a little bit longer, but still not that long. So I'll start from verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Again, that concept that the forgiveness and the relationship with God, we don't deserve it. It's something that God's given as a really precious gift, and we can't make ourselves be justified in front of God on anything that we do ourselves. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. When Ben was talking before about the spiritual songs, I remembered the Blessed Be Your Name song. That one in particular talks about praising God in times of all times, whether it's when things are going great, the sun's shining down on me, or when things are not so great. And it's got this line, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. It's amazing how songs that they, apparently when there's music to words, you often can remember them a bit easier. But like Ben said, often in times of trouble, it is really encouraging to have these things that we've learnt to give us sort of, to remind us of these lessons and these truths that we do need to keep praising God even in times of trouble. And obviously the psalmist here was really feeling like they were in a time of trouble and was turning to God and asking for God's help and direction and mercy. I thought it was interesting in verse 5, I remember the days of old, I meditate on all thy works. The word meditate also had mutterings and musings. So it's not just thinking, it's like talking about it and like really wrestling with it and things like that. I think sometimes when you're trying to learn something, saying it out loud helps. I thought it was interesting that that word was, there was lots of different sort of, not just sort of having a little bit of a think. It's like really, really trying to understand. And then when it says here, where was that? Sorry. Cause me to hear, verse 8, thank you. Cause me to hear. Hear wasn't just listening. It was hearing with an intent to act, or hearing and obeying, or hearing intellectually, like really with understanding. So not just listening, but really absorbing. So cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. And that was not just physically a way, like a direction, but it could also be character and things like that, which was interesting. And I think it's really interesting that that word here, when it's talking about here and hear your loving kindness, show me the way to go. It's like really help me understand, not just hear it, but really show me. And these last few verses are really sort of teach me to do thy will, lead me, quicken me. We really need to be seeking God's direction. And that was something that Rodney was talking about the other afternoon, was the need for all of us to really work on having our own intimate relationship with God and seeking God for direction. I know that we're encouraged in this church for each and every one of us to be responsible for our own faith. We don't have ordained ministers, but we are all really very much encouraged that we need to be responsible for our faith, and we need to be putting the effort in to learning the scriptures and learning and seeking after God. And so it's something that's the responsibility of all of us, and especially in this day and age when, you know, none of us can say, oh, well, I don't have a Bible, or I don't have access to Bible. If you've got a phone, and everyone has a phone, you can find the Bible on the internet everywhere. We're really, really, you know, there were times in the past where the Bible wasn't translated into our own languages, and people just were taught in Latin and didn't even know what it was they were being taught. We're really, really blessed that we have access to God's word, and we should value it and cherish it. It's really, really special. And he is a good and loving God and a merciful God. And it really, really pleases him when we seek after him and try to do his will. So like the last one, for I am thy servant. When we're following him, we're his servant, just like in the last passage as well, and we need to be humbly seeking his way, and he will teach us and he will lead us if we keep looking to his direction in his word. I'll hand it back to Ben.
Very good. Yes, it was a theme that came out the other day, this idea of being the servant, of having the servant heart and being directed and taught, and then the promise of deliverance as well. So we're going to have a stop and have a hymn now. So hymn 142, if somebody would like to come and play the organ. It might be one you remember. Now, this is an easy one to remember. As Louise said, words to music, they really are so much... You don't even have a hymn book. That's pretty rough, isn't it? Can't you do it by memory? That's pretty rough. Remember the words, remember the tune, and now remember the notes. But, one of my favourites, and I think it's one of those things. If you're having trouble getting to sleep at night, it's really, really good to know a few hymns, because you normally can start reciting them, and you get through about four or five generally, and then that's it, you're out. You know, like it must be that whole process of settling the mind and actually... going over these things. But hymn 142 is actually often the one that I'll start with when I do that. So hopefully I don't go to sleep. Hymn 142, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Thanks, Paul. Hymn 142, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ears. It calms his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. Well, let's now, as promised, we are looking at John chapter 8 this morning. So let's just read through John chapter 8. And I know normally in the Bibles, Jesus' words are highlighted in red, but I've highlighted them in blue and some in red. But anyway, this whole concept of service or being a servant is something that I think comes out in this particular section. And also the promise that that God's word is truth, and that Jesus came to provide a representation of that truth, to deliver the message of truth, and promise that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. So let's read it. I probably won't stop. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." You're going to actually expound that out a little bit more. Whosoever that committeth sin is the slave of sin. That's probably a nearer interpretation. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Clicking. Malfunction. See, it even happens to... There we go. Phew! Verse 41. "You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from him. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honour my Father, and ye do dishonour me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honour myself, my honour is nothing. It is my Father that honoureth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. A bit of an argument, by the sounds of it, that he's gotten in with the religious leaders. He's very clever. Jesus is very clever in the way that he converses with these religious leaders. So, for example, they will say, "We're Abraham's seed." So the Jews. So we know that from our studies of Abraham and from what's recorded in Genesis that Abraham was to be the father of many nations and of the promised, you know, sort of seed. And the Jews made an awful lot of that. They considered it to be an enormous privilege and honor to be one of Abraham's seed, as they say, to one of Abraham's offspring. And Jesus actually carves out a whole different meaning here in this particular part of the chapter. And he said, okay, yeah, you've come from Abraham. Abraham is like your great, 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 whatever it is. But you're not really the children of Abraham, because if you were the children of Abraham, then you would recognize the truth and you wouldn't do the things that you're doing. That was his charge against them. So he creates this difference between the seed of Abraham or the offspring of Abraham and the children of Abraham. And then he likens that to being somebody who is made by God, I guess you could say, created in his image. We're all created in God's image, right? But whether we are actually the children of God is a completely different thing. But I think the thing is that as we saw, and one of the, getting back to the pastor's conference, I think I was considering what it was that made that so, why they were so grateful. If you're in a country which is 90% Muslim, for example, 7% Hindu, and then 3% Christian, you're in the minority. You're a persecuted people. You are in danger for your very life. And yet, we understand through the New Testament and through the redemption of Jesus Christ in his sacrifice, that we are all part of the body of Christ. And so for them to be able to hear a word from another country where the Christians are free, where they can get out there and openly preach the word of God without persecution, or at least for the moment we can. You know, it's an amazingly encouraging thing and a wonderful thing to hear it spoken in another language even from another part of the world, and to know that we are all part of this body of Christ. And that's a wonderfully encouraging thing. And so that was, yeah, so I think that's pretty special. And that's what it means, I think, really, to be, say, the children of Abraham or the children of, you know, this children of God concept. These are the people that just happen to be, you know, inherited some sort of, lineage, I guess you could say. These are people that are living the way that God would have them live, that are following those teachings of Jesus Christ. And if you understand the doctrines of this church, we take that verse where we take Jesus at his word there, where he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." That's an amazing promise that we're yet to see fulfilled, but one that we believe will be fulfilled when Jesus returns and in the new millennium that comes in his kingdom. Let's have another hymn. I like hymns. This one is to the tune of Belmont. There's two hymns that... So one of the cool things about hymns, just for those who don't know, you notice at the top in Belmont there, it's got CM. That means common meter. And so what they used to do when they created songs, when they made songs a couple of hundred years ago, is they would actually put all of these words in that would fit certain meters. And so they had short meter, long meter, common meter. They would have, say, 4 lines, 8 syllables, that sort of thing. And so the idea is you can write songs in relatively quickly in certain formats. And so that's the reason why sometimes we mix up the tunes and the words, because we can do that. But Belmont is used in the Christian Israelite hymn book on two hymns, hymn 34 and hymn 115. And it's a very nice tune. Hymn 34. Thanks, Paul. Mm-hmm. Give ear to Israel's seed, they pray, to hear thy lovely voice. Incline their hearts, the same to obey, and make thy love their choice. A bit of a slower one, but a very pretty one all the same. So I guess the main themes really that we hope to bring out this morning was, first of all, let's try and begin and end each of our days with praise. Let's remember those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, memorize them, sing them in your head, and always remember, in all things, to give thanks unto God, because he, even though it might be painful at the moment, there's a greater plan at work here for those that are seeking for him to do his will in them, for their purpose, and for his purpose, rather, I should say, sorry. Anyway, that was really all I thought we might bring out this morning. I told you it was going to be a bit of a different one. So we're going to finish with a spiritual song now called 10,000 Reasons. So, yeah, if the band would like to come up and sing, and that'd be great. Could have done an organ thing.
It's common meter, isn't it?
Yeah, common meter. This is common meter.
Exactly. Well, thank you again, Ben. If everyone would like to stand up, our last one for today is 10,000 Reasons.
Oh,
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, thanks everyone for coming this morning. And I hope you got something out of that. There's certainly a lot to get out of that. If there is something that I think would be most beneficial, it's get a few of those psalms out and memorize those. Start with Psalm 23. That's a beaut one. And then you can work on the hymns after that. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you all again next week.